Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting.
Welcome back to the Hashtag Finance Master show, the podcast where we explore what it takes to build world-class finance functions. Today, I'm joined by Rachel Daly, a finance professional whose career journey is both inspiring and highly relevant for many in our audience. Rachel started her career as an accountant, then management accounting, and now a commercial finance manager. Along the way, she discovered her passion for helping others make that same transition from focusing on numbers in the back office to driving decisions in the business. In addition to her day-to-day work, Rachel also serves as a CIMA committee member for Northern Ireland, where she contributes to shaping the future of the profession and supporting others on their journey. In this episode, we'll explore Rachel's transformation, the challenges accountants faced when moving into commercial finance or business partnering type of roles, and the practical advice she has for those looking to follow a similar path. We'll also look ahead to how finance business partnering is evolving in the age of automation and AI. So Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hi, Anders. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And yeah, I'm really excited to have you here today, just because the story that you've gone through is a story that I've gone through. And just hearing how others went through that transformation is just, it's just so hugely valuable for the audience. So I really appreciate you being here today. But maybe you can start by walking us through your career journey from accountant to management accountant and now commercial finance manager. What did that all look like?
Yeah, sure. So I started out my career in an accountancy practice, preparing year-end accounts, auditing for clients. And that actually gave me a really good foundation because I was able to gain a good technical knowledge on financial statements and reporting and controls. And that proved really valuable going throughout my career. But after 2 years, I actually moved into management accounting and I worked for a software business. But my role was doing management accounts for three global entities in the US, the UK and Sri Lanka. And I really loved that job. But at the time I was studying for my CIMA. And when I was qualified, I was offered a new role. So I changed industries to manufacturing. After that, I spent 8 years managing a large overhead budget and forecast cycle. My role was very much focused on partnering with senior leaders to future plan and achieve their targets. But a few years ago, I decided that I wanted more and I needed a change. So I moved out of core finance and into commercial finance. And that's where I've been ever since.
It's just so so inspiring because I, you know, myself, I didn't start in practice, but I started inside a company doing financial controlling and really just looking at the financial statements, right? So kind of butting heads with the auditors. But after pretty much also 2 years, I also kind of had enough of that and wanted to get closer to the business. And then I went to a business controller role, which here in Denmark is similar to a management accounting role. So kind of that same start and just feeling the need for wanting more. Maybe you can talk about what kind of motivated you to move beyond that traditional accounting into a more commercial and forward-looking role.
Yeah, sure. So I'd already gained a strong grounding in business partnering in my previous role, but I realized that I still lacked a lot of the commercial acumen that was needed to develop to the next level. My view at the time was very narrow in one area, and I could see the long-term gain of really making the change to widen my skill set and make myself a better accountant long-term. I've always loved business. I did a business degree and have a lot of interest in getting to know how businesses work. I saw commercial finance as the perfect way to develop that commercial awareness and to learn the business and better use my skill set to make a direct impact on future growth and profitability.
Yeah, I know that makes a lot of sense. You know, I polled my audience some years back and I asked them, why did you go into finance in the first place? And I think we had like 1,400 votes or something like that. And 55% said, because I like to work with numbers. But another large group, 35%, said they like to work with business. So it seems like you more fall into that business category 100%. Where you say you're probably good at numbers, I'm sure, but you really want to apply them to something practical. And that's what you get in the role that you have today.
Yeah, exactly. It's the perfect mix of business and finance and commercial finance is the way I would describe it.
Absolutely. The last category I ask people to answer about is people. You like to work with people. And of course, only 10% said they went into to finance because they like to work with people. And I think I also referenced that stat on one of your LinkedIn posts recently. But it probably speaks into some of the challenges that accountants have making this transition. So seen from your perspective, and also all the ones that you engage with maybe you want to follow the similar path like you, what are the biggest challenges that accountants face when trying to make this transition?
So there's lots of challenges. I think your whole focus just changes overnight, and that's very difficult to adjust to. You almost feel like a complete beginner again. But once you're there, you learn it quickly and you realize that your transferable skills actually take you further than you realize. Like in accounting, your stakeholders are mostly finance people. External bodies like auditors who are also financial, but you're trained to be very detailed and precise because you're reporting the past. It has to be correct and compliant. Whenever you move into future facing role, this sort of flips, and your stakeholders are wider business who aren't financial, sometimes customers, but they require a different kind of support. So you really need to learn what that new support looks like. And you also have to be okay with things not being as precise, because forecasting sometimes just has to be good enough. It's never going to be 100% right. And that can be uncomfortable if you're a detailed oriented person.
So how do you find the different challenges of engaging with accountants or other finance professionals versus engaging with business people? How is that different from the way you see it?
Yeah, I love it. You have to ditch all the jargon. I'm not the kind of accountant that likes just sitting around with accountants all day. I like to get the wider sort of diverse experience. But you have to sort of tone your language down a little bit. But you learn so much from other people outside of finance that you don't even realize is possible. So it's worth taking that leap.
No, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I often hear back from people is, what do I do if they don't want to work with me? Because here you come as a finance person, and maybe they're used to finance people just coming to beat them up because they're behind budget or something like that. So how do you get on a good terms with them? How do you, make them want to work with you? Do you have any tips on that?
I think you actually just have to ask them more questions. If you actually understand what they're looking for, that makes it a lot easier. You can't just fire a report out to the same format to everyone. They're not going to use the same thing. But if you know what they're actually working towards, you can tailor it a little bit. And if they know that you're only trying to help and they can see that you're actively trying to support that, they're more willing to welcome you in.
It makes perfect sense. I always tell people, just ask them, what are the three key priorities they're working on right now? Don't go and ask how you can help them, because they probably don't know how you can help them. Yeah. Go and ask them, what are the priorities that you're working on? And then figure out, I'm sure that's one of the three priorities where you can help them with something, be it an analysis or finding some data, whatever it is. I remember, when I had one of my roles as a global finance PMO, really it was just trying to help the finance leadership team at Maersk, where I worked, to succeed with some of the things they were trying to do. But they were not obligated to work with me or use me for anything. So I kind of had to, they were finance leaders, of course, not business leaders, but I still had to figure out a way, how do I find some of these that want to work with me and I can actually work on useful projects? And one of the things where I started to help was really just doing an FTE analysis for someone that wanted to look at his entire finance function, which was very basic, but just the fact that, okay, here's a person that wants to help me and he wants to do some analysis for me, let him do it. And then, of course, through that, you use your skill and your abilities to show you can actually add value. And then it turned out I first helped with some finance transformation plans. And after that, we had to merge two business units in a huge internal business merger. And then I was kind of working day and night to help them do that. But it just started with that small analysis for something that was important to him at that time. So that's at least how I find, just ask them what they're working on, what's important to them, and then find some sort of way to help them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really as easy as that. Sounds easier than it is, but that's how you get them to trust you.
But it's easy to have the conversation. Then, of course, it might be difficult to do the actual work to figure it out, but that's what you train for, right? That's your education. Yeah. That's what you know, and you probably know it better than them, or maybe they did it 20 years ago, but you are doing it now and you have the experience and the abilities to do it. So rest in the fact that you will be able to help them with something. Don't be concerned about asking that question, because 99% out of 100 cases, you will be able to help them. So don't be concerned about that. Just go and ask the question and you'll be fine. At least that's my take.
Yeah, I agree.
So when you make these changes and you know, going from accounting to management accounting, it's already a big change, but from management mm-hmm. accounting to commercial finance is another big change. Were there any key skills you had to unlearn or new skills you had to build to succeed in commercial finance?
Yeah, so many new skills. I think the biggest learning curve for me was learning how to use my influence, learning how to take the financials, but then be able to make recommendations. You can't just report numbers the way you do in accounting. You're expected to do more, to be able to run various scenarios and be able to like quantify what the impact of those is. And you need to be able to develop an understanding of what's next, but that does take time to learn. You also, I would say, one of the biggest things is learning how to challenge, whether that's assumptions or stakeholders, but it's not from a place of being difficult. But because in commercial finance, you have to add credibility and due diligence to your work, because your responsibilities are to protect the future of the business, and they're very different to what they were in accounting.
No, absolutely. But it's about helping them succeed, right? And if that premise is established from the get-go, then, you know, the numbers will be what the numbers are in terms of how the business is performing. So whether they're good or they're bad, we cannot change, at least from historical perspective, the numbers, right? So we should come to the stakeholders we have with whatever the numbers are and say, you know, here's what it is. Here's what it means for the business. Here's what we should probably consider doing about it, or let us explore some of these points. Where I feel many finance professionals, they basically just stop and say, here's what the numbers are. You figure out what to do with it, right?
Yeah, and it really is a complete change. You might get wrong sometimes, but you learn it. You do learn it, but you really have to go that extra mile, I would say, than what you're used to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We published a book earlier this year called Communicating Financials to Executives, exactly trying to touch upon that point, because most finance professionals are just so busy with just getting the month end done that by the time they need to report and maybe have the monthly meeting, they have had very little time just to look at the numbers, even say, actually do an analysis and make a presentation that a business leader can understand. So we always kind of on the back foot and never really feeling we're delivering any product that makes sense to anyone, while still wondering, why don't they use all the information that we share? So we really wanted to tackle that key challenge there, which I think 95% of finance professionals today, they struggle with this. Even if the slides look nice, the storyline might be challenging or there's no recommendations or insights to be found. So I think there's a lot we can do there to improve that. Is that also what you've seen? And what are you trying to do to make it easier for the one you're partnering with to understand the financials?
Yeah, I think some people, it's maybe more difficult if you're trying to do both. So my role is solely focused on that. But I think if you were trying to juggle both, yeah, you might be more tied down in the manual, but you also need to learn not to present the whole story. It can be very tempting, especially still in my role, to present all the work you've done, but you really just need to home in on the actual relevant points. And again, that takes time, and that really, I find through listening to people's feedback that they give you as well is really helpful, because if they're homing in on the same things over and over again, you know what areas that you need to be focusing on rather than focusing on everything.
Yeah, and I would almost say that it's on us to be able to separate what's important from what's not, because we should know the numbers, and maybe they know the business better than us, but we should at least be able to guide the dialogue in a direction where here we are focusing on the important things. But like you said, maybe most people, they try to tell the full story and then they never get to discuss what's important. So that distinction there, it's just vitally important. And it's kind of what I come to call just the skill of critical thinking. So those that have critical thinking, they're able to do that, while others that maybe have not developed the skill so much so far, they will struggle to really get somewhere in their meetings. Maybe the discussions are nice and fine, but they don't decide on anything. They don't move things forward, and the business is just left to figure it out themselves. So I think there's a lot kind of to work on there, let's say.
Yeah, definitely.
So if we try to look back, what was the turning point, if you can call it like that? What was the point maybe in your career where you felt, now I've made the shift from accountant to commercial finance to being a true business partner? Was there kind of a moment or a period in time where you felt, hey, now I'm getting it, now I'm there?
I think the shift shows up in the smaller moments rather than one big like epiphany. When people start to approach you and seek you out for support and advice, then you know they can see your value. Like I remember last year, I got a call from a colleague that prepared a financial proposal and they wanted me to check it and check their logic. And the proposal was nothing to do with me, nothing to do with my work. But because I'd worked with them closely before, they valued my opinion. I think once you start getting invited into the room for wider decisions and included in the full process, you then know your value is being recognized and then you know you've become a true business partner.
Yeah, that's when the trust is there, right? So they would not make any important decisions without consulting you first and ideally also having you in the meeting where they make the decision. So I think that's a great proof point that you've made it. And of course, like you say, it doesn't happen as a big epiphany, but I feel that, you know, when you change roles, it's a perfect opportunity to show, okay, now I need to establish new relationships, maybe even learn to work with new systems if it's in a new company. So there's many opportunities to have here to actually apply everything I've learned in previous roles, learn from what didn't go so well, and of course, bring forward what did go well, and see if I've made it. I had one of those experiences where, you know, despite working in the same company for 13 years, of course, I had different role, different business units, all sorts of things. But my last role there after 13 years, that was really when I felt, okay, now I've made it, because in a matter of 3 weeks, I could succeed with what in the past maybe took me 1.5, 2 years, or maybe I didn't even succeed with it all, because I was able to put it all together and say, this is the approach I can be a business partner for me, because, you know, not all approaches are the same for all of us. And it just worked. So while maybe you have felt that it was kind of like that gradual change, every time you get a new role, it's really that perfect opportunity to say, okay, now let me see if I have made it. And of course, it doesn't work exactly like that, but it's at least an interesting time to see how far you've come.
Yeah. You grow business partnering in different ways as well, depending on who you're supporting. And that's kind of what keeps it interesting.
No, absolutely right. Every business partner role is different. Even if it's the same company, it's a different people that may be a different part of the business and so on. So it's it definitely keeps it fresh, let's just say like that.
Yeah.
So many accountants want to move into a business partnering type of roles, but they don't know where to start. What advice would you have for them?
Yeah, I will say, if you want to learn business partnering, you need to get out of accounting. You need to start chatting to people, building the wider relationships with the business, go and have conversations with people in different departments, talk to production, what challenges are they facing, go and chat to the sales team, find out what people are working on, because business partnering is about understanding the wider business and you need to be able to support them. So you need to get way more curious. You need to ask questions, and that's how you're going to build the trust. And that's how you're going to be able to effectively communicate with people that aren't finance related. I would say just get out there, get out of accounting, and that's how you're going to learn how to be a business partner.
It sounds again so simple, but it's again so true. You know, when I started as a controller, I was sitting in my cubicle. It wasn't a physical cubicle, but at least it was my desk, right? And I was like almost like dead scared talking to anyone outside my immediate team and department, right? So going somewhere else in the building was like, I hope I don't have meet someone I have to talk to here, right? And of course, then I got a new role and I was still sitting in the finance department. So sometimes I would go and talk to someone from the business. Then I moved to the US and had a role over there where we still had a finance department. Of course, we were more closely integrated with the business, and still kind of in finance. And then I had that stint as a finance PMO and other bits. But the time where it really started to work was when I was sitting dead set in the business that I was supporting with the product managers that you know were dependent on me to get insights and to drive the value creation. So if you are sitting in a finance office or finance function or the finance role, whatever it is, just like you said, Rachel, find ways to get out and either just explore how business is conducted in your business, or, you know, go sit with the people that you provide insights or information to just one day a week. Just try it out, because that really builds so much more than just, you know, seeing, but also getting to know, and also kind of listening what goes on around you, because there's so many things you would not pick up on if you are not there. So if you are a business partner, want to become one, go where the business is, and you will learn. I know it sounds fluffy, right? But it really just works.
It's true. So it's the most effective way.
Absolutely, it is. So one thing is, of course, you know, just to go and experience the business and making this change. But how important do you find like the mindset shift is versus getting more technical skills or other skills to develop? How important is that mindset shift from thinking about accounting, accuracy, precision to going into business, which has much more uncertainty and ambiguity? What is that, you know, how would you rate those two things?
I would say if you're an accountant, you already have a good technical foundation. You have the ability there already. And if there were any gaps, you could learn those. So I would argue that the mindset then becomes more important, the mindset and the people skills, because they're harder to adjust to and they are what's going to set you apart. But you do really need both to succeed. I would sort of describe it like the technical skills become the basis of how you leverage your business partnering capabilities. So your mindset is going to flip from how good your reports are to how can your reports be used to drive decisions? How can you present them? How relevant are they? What are you influencing? Are you able to make recommendations? So you could be the most technical person, have brilliant reports, but if it's not what the business needs or it's too complicated, you're not going to be a valuable business partner.
No, I think that's very true. And you know, I think the mindset gets in the way quite a lot. So, you know, another poll I ran with my audience was around what's stopping us from actually just creating or stepping into that future finance function that, you know, consultants and whatnot have been talking about for 20, maybe even 30 years. What's stopping us? And so I kind of had the dimension like people, skills, process, technology, or the mindset, which of course is more intangible. And again, there was more than 1,000 people voting on this. And I was thinking people are going to say like process and technology because it's external from them. So it's easy to, let's say, blame it. But 64% said the mindset.
Okay. And
it just shows you how powerful shifting your mindset can be for doing work completely differently. And it is not easy to do, right? First, you need to try new things, then build new habits, and then your mindset over time can start to shift. So it's a long-term thing. It's rare that people just, you know, say, one day I was an accountant mindset, tomorrow I'm a commercial finance mindset, right? It, like you said as well before, it happens kind of gradually, but that mindset shift is just so critical. And I think it's intangible, it's fluffy, but it's just really some of the things that you talked about there, right? Shifting from how well-structured is the report to how useful is it for actually making decisions. And that's two very, very different things. But too many just unfortunately spend time on making that perfect report.
You just have to be brave, I think. That's the one thing. If you're brave to try new things, that's how you're going to be able to sort of change your mindset. And the more new things you try, the more you'll be able to grow out of the accounting mindset, if you like, if you were to call it that. So yeah, just try as many new projects as you can.
Yeah, it kind of brings about another one concept by now, that the comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
So you need to be brave and have courage to step outside the comfort zone. Often what I find when you talk about the comfort zone with people is that they feel like once I step out, I can never step back in, which of course is not true. You know, you're never fully out or fully in. You can step in from time to time and, you know, go home and lie on a couch and watch Netflix or whatever it is that you need to do to recharge energy. But make that commitment to yourself to every day do something where you step out of the comfort zone. For instance, you know, I engage with a lot of people now, and you know, I go watch soccer or football, for instance, right? And recently, I created an account on X to just talk about my football team, and then we have some tickets for spare. And sometimes, then I said, okay, someone wants a ticket, we can sit next to each other and we can watch the game. And as you know, I'm an introvert, right? So it's kind of contradictory that why would he do that? And my wife is like, well, you don't even like to meet people. I'm like, actually, I do like to meet people just on the right terms. So here I am kind of meeting random people. We just have that soccer football team in common. And we're sitting there watching football and we're like, hey, yeah, it's great. Or of course, suffering together is not great. But that's me in not just in business, but also in life, trying to step outside the comfort zone, because it is true what they say, that is where you grow. but I also am still lying on the couch and watch Netflix, right? So, you know, you just need to plan for these things.
That's very good.
So obviously you also have a part in CIMA as well. So, so what role do professional bodies like CIMA play in equipping accountants and finance professionals for this transition that we're talking about?
So I think it's really important for them to help equip their members. CIMA, for example, their qualification kind of teaches you both accounting and business partnering. It has a strong foundation to teach you how to technically report, but there's a huge emphasis on developing the skills needed to influence decision making as well, and how to build your commercial acumen. Their format is valuable because it incorporates real world examples that you can actually directly relate to your job. But CIMA as well, they don't just support you through your actual, just your studies, they're there for your whole career. For example, they gave their members a mindset certificate program last year, and it taught you about mindsets around sustainability and digitalization. It just shows that they're invested in helping their members really develop into the future of finance and stay current and knowledgeable about what is coming, really. So they have a huge responsibility to help people make that shift, because the future is headed towards a more business partnering environment in finance.
No, absolutely. And that's where I like bodies like CIMA, because unlike, let's say, the very CPA-focused bodies, which of course is different around the world, they're, you know, still focusing on the technical side, tax, and all these things. And I'm not saying they're not important, but I don't see bodies like that really focusing on the business partnering angle. Of course, I know that CIMA has merged with AICPA, so there is some of that, but it's really, you know, there are some bodies for sure that are more in the direction of where the finance function is heading, whereas others are just continuing to focus on learning those more traditional skills. So I'm not saying it's either or, it's probably more both, because you need that strong technical foundation. You need to understand, even if it gets automated with AI, you still need to understand why is AI doing what it's doing, because otherwise you will be none the wiser, right? So I think you probably need both. But I really like that there are bodies like CIMA and IMA and others that are pushing more towards that future-oriented role. Because, like you said, members, they need help, right? You can go on LinkedIn and scroll the feed and get some advice here and there. But let's be honest, that's kind of gone in a heartbeat, right? But if you take a 3 months course in something specific, or you study, like you write a lot about, you know, your studies to become an accountant. If you do these studies, that's more real, that's more tangible, that's something where you actually have to put your blood, sweat, and tears into it, and you will learn a lot, and you will get that great foundation. So I think that's really
and
great.
And you need to keep topping it up. You need to keep topping it up as you go, definitely.
Exactly. And I think it's back to the point you just said, that, you know, about the mindset shift and all these things, where you need to build on top of that technical foundation all the time. So we build a capability model for what does it take to become a good finance business partner. And it has the 12 distinct skills that are all sitting on top of your finance expertise, because the finance expertise will get you so and so far, at least if you want to go towards a more business-driven or commercially-driven role. So there's a lot that we need to continuously need to try and learn. And I would say the good thing is we see more and more finance teams and companies investing in that learning as well. So it's not just up to the bodies, but companies are also taking their fair share of the load.
Yeah, 100%. They need to keep upskilling their teams as well. And not even just through certifications, just through the experiences that they're giving them in their roles.
100%. I mean, you have probably heard about the 70-20-10 model as well, right? Where to develop, you need 10% training, 20% sparing with peers, community, or mentors, whatnot. And 70% is really that on-the-job training. And you cannot undervalue that part. So any training you would go to, the 10%, should be rooted in ideally something you're doing on a daily basis, so you can practice doing things in a new way. Because if you learn something, like just to give an example, so I learned, at least tried to learn Chinese some 10, 15 years ago, because my wife is from China, but the part of China she's from, they speak Cantonese, where I tried to mostly only learn Mandarin, which is the standard Chinese, but no one ever speaks Mandarin when we go there. So it's like, I learned the language, or tried to, but We never really spoke it, so I didn't really learn it. And it's the same thing here. If you go and learn, let's say, something about AI, but you don't work with AI in your day role, then it's going to be difficult for you to really learn it. So that relationship between what you train for and what you are working with is just very, very critical, especially when it comes to business partnering, because it's not taught at school or university. It's taught once you become a professional. So you need to marry those two things up, and then I think you can develop in that right direction.
Yeah, I agree. It's a complete mix.
But now I mentioned the AI word or expression. Mm-hmm. So how do you see the role of commercial finance people or finance business partnering evolving over the next 5 to 10 years? Let's say we probably can't go even further out, especially with automation and AI changing the basics of accounting and maybe a lot more as well.
So with AI and automation taking a lot of the transactional aspects away, the role of a business partner is going to become a lot more strategic than it was before. And the ones, like we've already said, that are going to succeed are going to be the ones with the people skills who can communicate. But I also believe that finance is going to become a lot more embedded, like what you were chatting about before when you were sitting with the teams. You can already see this shift. It's not really a support function anymore, and teams are now more actively sitting with the business. As well as that, I can see with reporting becoming more real time, business partners are going to have to be a lot more dynamic and fast paced. They're going to need to try and anticipate challenges before they occur, but provide a more meaningful and valuable contribution to the business while leveraging AI to their advantage to be able to do that.
And I would just add, it's going to be exciting because when you talk about AI, there are a lot of people still that are like, oh, it's coming to take my job away. And I get it. It's coming to take away some of the things that you're doing today. But that's good, because I have rarely met a finance professional that had time for everything they wanted to do. They're always time poor. So it's great. Someone comes and do the work that you don't have, or you're doing today, which frees up time for work that you don't have time for today. So that's good in itself. And then just imagine all the added capabilities that we're going to get. It's going to be exciting. And I really want everyone out there to feel excited about this, not concerned, be excited, because that means you're going to be leaning in to what capabilities you're going to get rather than, you know, leaning out and saying it's not for me. Because if it's not for you, then
You have to lean in. If you want to still be in finance, you're going to have to lean in, because it's going to literally change everything. So you have to be an open mindset, I think it would be the way. Unlearn the old, like you were saying before, and then relearn how to do your job with AI.
100%. So last question, Rachel. So on the Hashtag Finance Master show, we define a finance master as someone who helps build a world-class finance function. So how does the work and passion you have for helping others make the transition from accounting to business partner, how does that contribute to that vision, if you can say so?
Yeah, so I'm really passionate about helping accountants realize how much more they're capable of beyond the box of accounting, and really how far the transferable skills can go. Because I believe that a world-class finance function has teams with diverse experience. When a finance team can have exposure to different functions, their commercial and business awareness is stronger, and then they're better equipped to support the business. So through my work of raising awareness and encouraging people to be brave to take on non-traditional roles, that's going to build their business exposure. And in the hopes then that will strengthen the overall capability of finance teams and finance professionals, bringing them closer to the world-class standard.
And how amazing it is to have people like you out there. I think you're doing great work.
Thank you.
If you're not already following Rachel on LinkedIn or have connected with her, you should go and do so. She is growing at great pace. And I'm just really just intrigued by seeing where you will take things, because I think you have the opportunity and ability to take things far. And, you know, the profession need people like you, have been in accounting and have taken those brave steps outside. And I think today you're probably living outside the old comfort zone that you have. You probably don't even need to go back in there. And I'm sure you will define a new expanded comfort zone for yourself. And maybe one day you will not be a finance person anymore. You will be a salesperson or a marketing person, whatever it might be, someone in the business, right? So I really huge supporter of the work that you do, Rachel. Really just keep it going. And I'm sure my audience will feel the same thing. So it's been a true pleasure having you here on the podcast.
No, thank you. And I appreciate all the support you've given me. It means a lot. So thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. And thanks to everyone else for listening in. Hope you've enjoyed this week's episode with Rachel Daly, where we talked about transition from accounting into commercial finance and business partnering, a transition that I've gone through, Rachel have gone through it. And if you're going through it, reach out to Rachel as well. I'm sure you can easily find her on LinkedIn, send her a message, and I'm sure she will share a lot of the advice that she's also shared here in the podcast today. So thanks everyone for listening in, and I hope to see you again next week. So bye for now.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting.